Well, I'd just like to say again, happy Father's Day to everyone. You know, today is a day that we come together to celebrate fathers. And we are glad that you have made us here at Big Spring Baptist Church a part of your celebration here this morning. You know, and the reason why we gather together on Father's Day is to talk about and to think about and to celebrate the importance of fathers. And you know, the strange thing is that culturally, we are at a point where it is normal for our culture to belittle and to make fun of dads. Because you can go and you can watch any movie and you can go to any part of pop culture and you will begin to see that children are often portrayed as being smarter than the dads. It's now the children who are the heroes of the family. It's the children who are now the heroes of the situation where it used to be where the father was portrayed as holding that place. And so it's interesting to see that cultural shift. Because let's just be honest, today in our culture, we really don't make much of dads. But here's the reality. The family is the cornerstone of society. The family is the cornerstone of all that we do here at Big Spring Baptist Church. And God primarily moves and works through the family. But you know, in the big picture, we here at Big Spring, we have your children and your grandchildren for maybe a couple hours a week. And those are all important, don't get me wrong. But none of that surpasses the importance of the time that you have with your children at home. You know, the hours that we have, your kids and your grandchildren here at the church during the week, maybe during the week of EBS, we'll have them all afternoon that whole week. Maybe some other times throughout the rest of the year, but none of that is more important or precious than the time you have with your children at home. And today, that is why we want to celebrate dads. Because dads, you and I have the privilege of being spiritual leaders in our homes, and to really make an impact on our children and our grandchildren that will extend into eternity. Because just think about it. Today there are many things that we do and we work on as dads that have temporal importance. Yes, they're important. There's importance to it. Things such as making a living, or providing a home, or providing food and clothing. And all of these things are important things, don't get me wrong. And we do these important things, but the problem is, we often focus on all of these temporal things that are important, but they are not as important as some of the things that we find in God's Word that relate to the spiritual impact that we can have upon our families and our children that extends all the way into eternity. I mean, this goes on forever and ever and ever that we can have that type of impact. And that is the impact that I want to look at and to talk about this morning, because it is the best kind of impact that we can have. And throughout Scripture, you will find different passages that go and they talk about they'll encourage dads. Some of the passages will challenge dads and remind us of what we need to be doing, of what we need to be saying, of what our attitude should look like. There is a lot of that in Scripture. But this morning, I want to look at a passage that I feel is really encouraging, because it provides us some eternal perspective. And so this morning, we want to look at the last book of the Old Testament, we want to look at Malachi. And in Malachi, we want to look at the last chapter, chapter 4. And we actually want to look at the last couple of verses in that book, verses 4 through 6. And as we look at this passage, I want you to see the description of what things are going to be like as we get closer to the return of our Savior. I want to show you just briefly, in a way, what I hope is encouraging, what it looks like to have an eternal impact upon the lives of your kids. Because listen to me, fathers, you are having an impact. We have the opportunity to impact our kids on a regular basis. And we need to be reminded sometimes that that impact happens even when we don't see it. Because we don't see the fruit of the impact that we are having on our kids on a daily basis, or even on a weekly basis, or even on a monthly basis. Sometimes you see that impact when you have the opportunity to look back and say, wow, I am impacting my kids. So let's look at this passage. This passage comes at the end of Malachi's prophecy, and Israel is about to go into 400 years of silence. This is the last time they are going to hear from God for 400 years. This is the last word of prophecy that precedes the coming of Jesus. So we can understand that this is going to be a pretty dark time for Israel. And so Malachi then says in chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." God here is giving a word of encouragement. God is trying to motivate his people here to faithfulness. So dads, let me just say a few things here this morning to you briefly about how we can have an ongoing spiritual impact upon our children. And the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to encourage us to look backward and remember God's faithfulness. Just notice verse 4, he says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses and the statutes that I have commanded him." You know, part of being a spiritual leader is looking backward and remembering God's faithfulness. But why is that so important? Well, I'm glad you asked. The reason why it is so important is because there is power in memory. Because remember, Israel here is going into 400 years of silence. It's going to be a very difficult time. Can you just imagine 400 years of not hearing from God? 400 years of silence. And right before they go into that time of silence, Malachi tells them, "Remember the law of Moses." And the reason why that he is telling them is this, because he knows, as I said, there is power in memory. When you look back on your life and you can think of specific times in your life where God was faithful to you, there is power in that. There is encouragement in that, and it will encourage you then to persevere. Because you can look back and you can say, "I remember this time in my life when God was faithful to me. I remember this situation that I was facing, and it was so hard for me. And I was wondering how I was ever going to make it through. But God was faithful, and he helped me through it. I remember this time in my life when I was being rebellious, when I was being foolish. But God's mercy was so abundant. I remember this time in my life when I didn't think I was going to be able to make ends meet. But somehow, God provided. You know, you can look back to all these times in your life, and you can recall to mind God's faithfulness. How He was faithful before, and that will be a motivation to you to remain faithful to Him, because guess what? God will always be faithful to you. He will never not be faithful to you. And so Malachi here is talking to the children of Israel, and he is telling them, remember the law. Now, why is that important? It is important for them to remember the law because the law was God's covenant to them, to His people. Malachi is basically saying, remember what I did. He's saying to His people, I delivered you from bondage. I delivered you from Pharaoh. I delivered you through the Red Sea, and now you are going to be my people, and you are going to bring honor to me. And God said, here is my covenant agreement with you. Here's my name. I'm ready to sign on the dotted line. He's saying, this is evidence that you and I are going to work together. That's what the law represented. That's what the law was. And now Malachi is saying to them, in this time, I want you to look back to this day. I want you to think back to the day that God initiated His covenant with you. And He is encouraging them to remember God's faithfulness to them in the past. Now, dads, this is something that we can do as we lead our homes. We can remind our spouse, we can remind our children of how God has been faithful to us, how God has been faithful over and over and over again, because there is power in the past. There is power in our memories. There is really something about looking back at a part of your life when God has blessed you, about looking back to these points in your life where God has shown His love and His mercy to you, where God forgave you of what you had done. Because when you look back and you see the bigger picture of who God is, then it motivates you to be faithful in the present and in the future. And so Malachi understood here that a good memory is an important thing. And so he can see, he says, think back to the past. Remember the law, because knowing that God has delivered in the past will help us to know that He will deliver us again in the future. So Malachi says again to the children, remember the law. Remember what God has done. But not only should we look back to remember God's faithfulness, we also need to look forward to anticipate final victory for us. Listen, part of impacting our children spiritually is taking them back to what God has done. And we don't take them back anymore to the law at Sinai, but we take them back to what Christ has done for us on the cross. We take them back to Christ dying in our place. We take them back to Him dying for our sins, for Him atoning for our sins, so that by faith in Him, we can be forgiven and have eternal life. We take our children back to the cross as the ultimate demonstration of God's love and faithfulness towards us, because that's what it represents. So we look back to the cross, but we also look forward as well. Malachi says, hey, don't forget about the future. Because there in verse 5, he says, behold, there is an Elijah who is going to come. And I can't get into this much this morning, but I believe that this was fulfilled partly through John the Baptist, who came before Christ came. But I also believe that this will be fulfilled at the coming of Jesus, that there will be another predecessor to Jesus. Revelation 11 kind of helps us to understand this. But Malachi here, he says, look back to God's faithfulness, but also look forward to God's victory. He says, look to Elijah, who is going to come before the great and awesome day of the Lord. In other words, what Malachi is saying here is he is saying that there will be a final victory. That's why, please hear me, for all of us in this room, that is why we do not live just for the temporal. Because we know that there is an eternal state. We know that there is a final victory. We know that there is an everlasting kingdom, that there is a dominion that will have no end. And that is why, then, it is important for us to fashion the hearts of our families towards this everlasting kingdom, because it's coming. There is a final victory. Now I know that today things don't look very good. When you look at the devastation around the world, when you look at all the disease, all the death that exists in the world, when you look at all the fighting and all the tragedy around us, it does not look like there is going to be a final victory. And I get it. You know, it kind of looks like right now that God is lying on the mat and we're not sure that He is going to get up. Right now, there's a time that we see sin in this world. Right now, things are so bad because Scripture says that God has given dominion of this world over to the devil. We understand that right now, things don't look great, but we have hope. We have hope that one day God is going to return, that Jesus is coming again, that He's going to return to this earth, and that He is going to judge the living and the dead, and He is going to make all things new for His people. We see this not only in God's inspired word, but I believe we also see this in some other communication avenues that I personally believe are greatly blessed by God, like the Rocky movies. You know, if it's a last minute, you got your dad a gift, there's an idea. You know, the Rocky movies are just great. And if you haven't seen them, you need to make them a priority. You need to put that on your bucket list. Because the thing that I just love about the Rocky movies is this. Sylvester Stallone is one of the worst boxers who have ever lived. Because basically what you see is he doesn't defend himself. And for 10 straight rounds, he just gets pummeled upon. And he doesn't fight back. And you see him get knocked down. He's lying on the mat about to get counted out. And then he gets back up and he gets pummeled on again. For 10 straight rounds, he gets pummeled on. But then in the end, what happens? He comes back and wins. And there's a sense now, looking at the world, that some say that God is down on the mat, that He's out for the count, that He is not getting back up. But listen to me. At the end of the age, God will have His final victory. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And here is Malachi. He is preparing Israel to go through this period of silence. And he says, look back on how faithful God has been. And he says, look forward and anticipate the final victory. And then in verse 6, he gives us this beautiful picture. He says, and He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. So he says, now I want you to turn your hearts to your children. If you are a dad in the room today, I exhort you lovingly to turn your hearts to your children. This is the description of what things are going to be like the closer we get to the return of Christ. And listen to me. I get, fathers, that we have to work. I get that we have to work hard. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was taking Benjamin and Lydia to daycare. And Benjamin was writing. He says, I really don't want to go to daycare. I don't want to go to school. And he says, why can't you and Mommy and me and Lydia all just stay home together? And I says, well, me and Mommy have to work so we can make money to pay for our house, to buy food, so that we can eat and all this. And he says, oh. So you're saying you have to work so you can get money to buy me more toys. He says, okay, I get it, that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, you're beginning to grasp it a little bit. And you know, yeah, we have to work. That's of the Lord. We work and we work hard. And you know, there's other things in life that we pursue. That's just part of life. I get it. But how does Malachi describe the people of God the closer we get to the coming of Jesus? Does it not astound you that he ends his book this way? That at the end of his prophecy, that the last word that God has for his people for 400 years is this? That the fathers are going to turn their hearts to their children and their children are going to turn their hearts to their father? And you say, okay, well, what does that look like? You know, sometimes it's easier for us to think, first of all, what does it not look like before we can understand what it looks like? So let's just talk about that a little bit. What does it not look like to not turn our hearts to our children? Well, we turn our hearts away from our kids and our families by ignoring them and focusing all of our time on our work more than our family. We turn our hearts away from our children by abusing them verbally with put-downs and discouragement and maybe abusing them in other ways that we should never do. We turn our hearts away from our children by shutting them out through disappointment because they have let us down in some way, because they have not become what we expected them to become. You know, some kids walk around for the rest of their lives hurt because of the pressure of their fathers that forced them to do something or to be something that they did not want to do. And maybe they didn't carry that out. And so they carry on this burden of disappointment with them all their lives. That's not turning our hearts towards our children, as Scripture says here. But we turn our hearts also away from our children by provoking them to anger. Ephesians 6, Paul says that we are not to provoke our children to anger, but we are to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You know, there's two aims to biblical parenting. The first is that we teach our kids, and the second is that we discipline our kids. It's not that we lack discipline or we lack teaching, but it's that we do both of them lovingly, and we do it in a way that points the hearts of our kids towards Christ. So we can turn our hearts away from our children in all these different ways, but now that we've looked at what it doesn't look like, let's look at what it does mean, what it looks like to turn our hearts towards our children. And one way is that we encourage them more than we criticize. That we take negative thoughts captive and we work with our children lovingly from beginning to the end, as we recognize that our goal is to lead our children to be mature, Christ-loving adults who function on their own. You know, so you might ask and say, Pastor, what do you think about during the week? And sometimes my answer might be this. Sometimes throughout the week, now and again, I think about retirement. And all the parents say, amen. Because sometimes I'm just thinking, well, what would it be like when my children are grown and they're out of the house or doing all these things on their own? And I'm like, wow, that would be amazing. What would I do with all the free time that I would have? It's like, what would I might do for myself every once in a while? And you know, I hear everybody that's retired, they always say, well, Pastor, it's not what you think. I'm actually busier now than I was before I was retired. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I think you're all lying to me. I think you're all part of some elite group that has made a commitment to say, we're going to make it sound worse than it really is so that we can just keep our own selves together, as I think you're lying to me. But the goal of Christian parenting is to shepherd the hearts of your kids and to turn their hearts towards God for 18, 20, 22 years that you just pour your life into them. And when we actually look at it, it is such a small window. And you are leading them through the teaching, through your teaching and discipline of the Lord. And you're leading them to love Him. And through that, you are shepherding their heart to where eventually they are out of the nest and they are pursuing God's will for their life. And they leave and cleave if that is part of God's will for their life. It's not that you ever cease to be a parent, but the goal of parenting is to shepherd them in such a way that you push them out of the nest, that you encourage them to go and to follow God's will for their life. Because you turn your heart towards your children when you want God's will for them. You let bitterness go and you forgive your kids. You turn your hearts towards your children when you emphasize the spiritual and the eternal more than the temporal. That you do everything that you can to live in such a way and to lead in such a way that the hearts of your kids are on your heart. And you shepherd them ultimately to God. And as I read this, as I read verse 6, I just love this description. And I hope that it has been an encouragement to you. I know that as I have been preparing this, it has been such an encouragement to me that at the end of the age, God will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and the hearts of the children towards their fathers. And may I submit to you this morning that our country desperately needs this to happen. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had VBS, still recovering, I think, for most of us. It was a long week. But do you know that this year at our VBS, we had kids whose parents are not shepherding their hearts towards God? There's a lot of kids whose fathers' hearts were not towards them. And so, for a week, we invested in those children. We shepherded them. We pointed them to Christ. We pointed them to their heavenly Father. And why? Because there are kids in this community who have heard very little or nothing about Jesus. Because they are not hearing it in their home. And our culture today desperately needs fathers whose hearts are turned towards their kids. And let me tell you, it has to start, though, with us who are in this room. That's who we need to be. That's what this whole thing is about. Because dads, we have the primary leadership responsibility to lead our wives well and to turn our hearts towards our children so that God will be glorified in our lives. This week, I was at the Southern Baptist Convention, and I got to hear a message from the president of the convention, by Ronnie Floyd. Preached a message, said, Southern Baptists, it's time for us to lead. And as I heard that, he was saying, it's not time for us just to stand up and to argue and to fight. But he was saying as well, that it is time for us to lead by example. Fathers, it is time for us to lead. If we want to see our culture change. We don't just need to get upset at how families are falling apart. We don't need to get upset at what the kids are getting into. We don't need to get upset about how kids are misbehaving. But we need to say, I'm going to lead. I'm going to provide an example for everyone around of what it means to be a godly husband, a godly father, of what it means to be a spiritual leader in our homes, of what it means to say we're going to pray together as a family, of what it means to say we're going to study God's Word together as a family, of what it means to say, I'm going to take on the primary responsibility of discipling my children, of teaching them who God is and what He has done for us. To say, I'm going to stop arguing, I'm going to stop fighting, but I'm going to say, I want to be an example for all the fathers around me. Fathers, it is time for us to lead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day. Father, as we have seen here in the book of Malachi, as you were preparing the people of Israel and even us today for what it is going to look like before the coming of Christ, what a beautiful picture we have seen. A beautiful picture of fathers who are turning their hearts to their children, who are investing in their children's lives, who are pointing their children towards you, of your love and of your grace and of your mercy and of what it means and what it looks like to be a true follower, to be a true disciple of Christ, provide that example, to provide that leadership for their families, for their children. And Father, as we look around, though, at the world, as we look even just right outside our doors, we can become very brokenhearted at the state of the family in our country. Family is falling apart. The family is being destroyed. There are so many fathers who aren't even taking up the responsibility of what it means to be a father. Father, I pray that we will see this come to a reality. That we will see fathers all across this city turning their hearts to their children, saying, I need to invest in the eternal with my children. And Father, I pray that maybe that will begin here. That the dads and the grandfathers in this room will say, I'm going to stop investing every second of my time in my work. I'm going to stop investing every ounce of my energy in myself. But that I'm going to give myself to my family, to lead them, to point them to you, the greatest Father of all. If we would turn our hearts to you, I know, Father, that we would see a great change, that we would see families healed. We would see families coming back together. We would see families serving you in all that they do. So, Father, I pray that you would help us, that you would help the men in this building here this morning to be godly men who are following you, who are serving you, and who are leading their families into a closer relationship with you. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's